And out of Tripoli, Libyan academic and journalist Mostafa Fetouri. Thank you both for being with me. I'd like to start this off in London. And Sami, the Zionist regime is completely acting like a mad dog, out of control in Gaza. What do you think its ultimate goal with this war on the people of Gaza is?
I think this genocidal war against the Palestinian people has to be viewed within a historic sense, which is that the Zionist regime has been trying to expel the Palestinian people from their homeland for the past 75 years. They have already expelled millions of Palestinians by force from their homeland over the many decades. And they are trying to do the same in Gaza. Their objective is to drive out the Palestinian people. And in the meantime, the only way they think they could achieve it is by killing as many people as possible. As you pointed out, over half the population of Gaza are actually children. Over 1,000 children have already died in this vicious bombardment using the latest weapons supplied by Washington and other Western allies. It is truly a genocidal war, and the world has to act, has to try and force Israel to stop this genocide.
Well, Mostafa, Sami talked about the genocidal war taking place in Gaza, but it's not just Gaza. I mean, if we look at what is happening on the West Bank right now, we're looking at 90 people have been killed since October the 7th. The oppression is continuing, attacks are continuing, and on Saturday alone, 41 Palestinians were injured, and today two others were killed. And so let's look at this side of things, because in Gaza they talk about Hamas. In here, on the West Bank, I mean, what is the regime trying to do there?
Well, thank you for having me. And
thank you for coming.
It's actually part of the same story as my colleague Sami mentioned. It's the attempt of the Israeli regime to break down the Palestinian resistance, the first of all, and second, to banish any resistance movement inside Palestine or outside Palestine from ever again thinking about resisting the occupation or attacking what they call Israel, proper Israel, the land that's occupied in 1948 when the Israeli entity was created first, and terror them most of all, of course, to kill as many Palestinians as possible. And as you have mentioned, there is no Hamas in the West Bank. There is no music festival over there. And there is no, nobody actually is doing anything to the Israelis. And they have free hand to go and come whenever they want and arrest people and demolish buildings. And just today they bombed two mosques, I believe, in the West Bank, especially in the Jenin refugee camp. Yes. So the idea is always the same. Regardless if there is Hamas here or there or Islamic Jihad here or there or any other group, it's the same policy, the genocidal policy, to kill as many Palestinians as possible. And if we recall, on the first day, on the 7th of October, when Hamas successfully attacked inside Israel itself, the spokesperson of the Israeli army, when he asked about the possibility of mounting civilian casualties in Gaza, he said it's not about the casualties, it's not about the precision, it's about the damage, how much damage we can do. Mm-hmm. And since the war has been declared in Gaza, if we notice, there has been no specific goal or objective of this war other than wiping out Hamas. But practically, in terms of military practices and terms of military operations. What does wiping out a ghost army? Hamas does not have military installations, does not have barracks, does not have radar stations, does not have surveillance, electronic surveillance equipment to be hacked, does not have tank battalions, does not have control rooms where top leaders can control and direct the army or the fighters in the battle, doesn't have any naval installation, does not have any air bases. So what does exactly mean wiping out Hamas, i.e. it actually means wiping out as many Palestinians as possible, ambushing them, if possible, out of Gaza altogether?
Well, Sammy, you heard the point that Mustafa just made, wiping out as many Palestinians as possible, because when you're talking about resistance, they're trying to, as they say, wipe out Hamas. But when you're talking about an occupied, or in this its situation, a genocide is being against these people in Gaza, of course, they have the right to resist. And can you ever wipe out a resistance? When resistance comes from the people as a natural response to the oppression that they are enduring?
I think you make a good point. This is the lesson of history, not just in Palestine, but across the world. Wherever there were occupations, extreme forms of oppression, wars of genocide, they have always ended in the occupied people and the people who are the subject of extreme oppression, of rising up, and the aggressors, the occupiers, being defeated eventually. And Israel hopes by displacing the Palestinian people, they can change this historical trend and achieve what they want. But I assure you, there is no way on earth that Israel can, and this Israeli regime, this fascist regime, can actually defeat the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people in themselves are extremely strong, determined to stay in their land. Those who have been forced out in the past, in 1948 and 1967, are determined to go back. And something also historically quite important that has happened in recent years is that the Palestinian people are no longer alone. The Palestinian people, despite the betrayal of some Arab regimes, have acquired very powerful friends. They have powerful alliances now amongst resistant forces across the region. Whether you're talking about the aggression against the Yemeni people and how the Yemeni resistance became so powerful, they are now strong allies of the Palestinian people. Same in Iraq, which was the subject of a vicious American occupation. Over a million Iraqis were killed. There was also a resistance movement against the U.S. occupation. And some of these resistant forces in Iraq have also declared a strong alliance with the Palestinians. Move on to Lebanon. A powerful Lebanese resistance movement is a very strong ally of the Palestinian people. So the Palestinian people are not alone. They have a strategic depth. And these powerful resistance forces also have strong allies, whether it's in Iran or Syria or even across the world. You're talking about countries from Venezuela to China. So really, the Israel is acting against a historical trend, and they will eventually, this Israeli regime will eventually be defeated. Washington, London, Paris, these Western powers that supply the weapons of death to Israel will also be defeated in the region. They use Israel as a powerful base against the peoples of the region. They think by planting so much weapons of mass destruction inside occupied Palestine, they could threaten and intimidate the peoples of the region, divide the area, act as saboteurs, supporters of terrorist organizations. Israel and the United States have supported terrorist groups, whether in Iraq or Syria or Lebanon even. So you've got a problem here, which is that the United States hopes to dominate the region through its proxy forces, and Israel is their biggest proxy force. But the peoples of the region are 100 times stronger today. And okay. I think, looking at the balance of forces, these resistance forces will eventually win.
Okay, well, Mustafa, what is it about this particular war on Gaza that the Israeli regime's Western backers are not even mentioning the necessity for an immediate ceasefire? The U.S. has a draft resolution right now in the U.N. requiring essentials to be allowed into Gaza, but doesn't call for a ceasefire nor a humanitarian pause. Your take.
Yeah, we also have seen yesterday or the day before two draft resolutions, one submitted by Brazil and the other one by Russia, and they were vetoed because the Americans specifically insisted on condemning the resistance, the Palestinian resistance, without actually calling for a ceasefire. I think what drove the West so mad, actually, is, especially in the United States, they are acting very hysterically, is the fact that this is the first time in 75 years of occupation that a Palestinian group manages at this scale with such planning and sophisticated training, apparently, to penetrate inside Israel. This has never happened before since 48. I mean, despite the six or seven wars between Israel and the Arab countries, nobody managed to enter what they call proper Israel, except for this time on the 7th of October. So the idea, as I said before, after driving as many Palestinians as possible off the face of the earth completely, the second idea is to give a lesson that any resistance movement contemplating or thinking about going inside Israel, which is legitimate, of course, because they are defending themselves, the Palestinians in this case, they should think twice or three times about it, because it's for the first time we see Israeli citizens, who are mostly illegal immigrants, in my opinion, living in shelters outside their homes and living in tents.
Right.
We are seeing refugees, you know, Israeli refugees inside the proper Israel itself, especially the area around Gaza. And the Israeli regime, especially the terrorist, Mr. Netanyahu, they want to teach us a lesson, whether the Palestinians or their supporters across the world, as mentioned by my colleague, Sami, they want to teach us a lesson, never to think about this again. But what they are forgetting is that we discovered, just for starting this 7th of October, we discovered that most of the Israeli bombers actually does not exist. It doesn't make any sense at all. And they have failed in terms of the intelligence. They have failed in terms of the military. And they have failed in actually in defining any specific or clear objective of this war, as I mentioned before. And they, of course, they are capable of killing thousands of Palestinians, as we have seen so far. But that will not be a victory, per se.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Right. Well, Sami, what about that? Mostafa talked about what happened on October 7th and what the Palestinians were able to do. And many analysts are saying that the whole situation has changed. Parameters have changed now since October 7th and will never return to the way it was. Mostafa mentioned about the Zionists now actually also being uprooted, whether we're talking about the northern occupied territories, the southern occupied territories right now. So I'd like to hear your perspective on that.
Yes, I think there is a definite change in the balance of forces after 7th of October. The Palestinian resistance for the first time have shown themselves to be quite a powerful force, a force which is not only sophisticated in terms of its own planning, military planning, political planning. Also, I think one important point that the Israeli regime and Western powers underestimate is that the Palestinian resistance is not just few hundred or few thousand fighters. It's really the overwhelming majority of the Palestinian people. Even those families today that are losing their babies, their children, their loved ones, they come out and say, Israel is not going to drive us out. We want freedom. We will resist this genocidal war. So there is an incredible determination amongst the Palestinian people, whether in Gaza, whether in the West Bank, whether in their refugee camps in the region, across the world. Palestinian refugees have spread across the world, millions of them. Their determination, their love of Palestine, their love of their homeland, the incredible loss they experienced over so many decades has not bent their determination. They are truly an incredible people in terms of their love of freedom, love of their homeland, their determination to achieve victory. And this is the secret weapon that the Palestinian people have. And this is the secret weapon that neither Washington nor Tel Aviv, the Israeli regime, fully comprehend and understand. Mm-hmm. There is a definite shift now in the balance of forces because the Palestinian people have been able to show this determination in action. And that is quite a historic achievement. Also, they have shown that this so-called powerful Israeli army, the fourth strongest in the world, the only nuclear power in the Middle East and so on, is ultimately an extremely vulnerable force. To rely on eliminating people and waging wars of genocide will not save this fascist regime in Tel Aviv.
Okay.
So they have a lot of Jewish people are also standing against Israeli regime today. That's important to point out. Ordinary Jewish people across the world have joined in these mass demonstrations across the world in support of the Palestinian people and in opposition to Zionism.
Okay, well, let me get Mostafa in here, the last question. Mostafa, we talked earlier a little bit about the resistance. I want to talk about the expansion, likelihood of the expansion of this war with other forces getting involved. We know, as Sami had pointed out, about the Yemeni forces and what happened, and also we know about Hezbollah and the overall situation in the region. I mean, your take about that possibility.
Well, that's a very serious possibility, and it could be a threat to the entire region. We heard yesterday and today as well, the foreign minister of the Islamic Republic of Iran explaining the fact, you know, reiterating what he has said about a few days ago, that the whole region is it's a volcano. It could explode at any time if the Zionists go on killing the Palestinians in Gaza. Of course, we have to remember that Israel not only occupies Palestine, but it also occupies parts of the lands of Syria as well as in Lebanon. And that's the reason why Hezbollah is fighting over there. And we have seen Hezbollah fighters, you know, launching small operations here and there, depending on the situation and how it develops inside Palestine, especially inside Gaza over the next couple of days. The whole region could explode. Plus, there's another very strong sentiment, pro-Palestinian sentiment, around the countries around occupied Palestine, be it in Jordan, be it in Egypt, be it in Syria, be it in, as far away as Morocco and Libya, and everywhere in Iraq, or almost everywhere. And that public opinion, that public anger, has to be, you know, channeled towards the occupied Palestinian land somehow. And if there is no ceasefire soon, or lifting of the embargo on Gaza altogether, I think the whole barometer is not only if the conflict will change, but also the political situation around the Israeli entity will change. And I think the idea of normalizing ties with Israel, as we have seen over the last 2 years or so, I think that will stop for now, okay, at least for at this point.
Okay. Yes. And on that note, thank you both for being with me. Sami Ramadani, academic and writer out of London. Mustafa Fattori, Libyan academic and journalist out of Tripoli.
Thank you.
And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the verses of chapter Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, and different commentary points of these verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 37th verse of chapter Nur.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun wa la bay'un 'an dhikrillahi wa iqamis salati وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ
are men whom neither commerce nor sale distracts from the remembrance of Allah and performance of prayer and giving of zakah. They fear a day in which the hearts and eyes will fearfully turn about.
So, the verse says, لِرِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Men whom neither merchandise nor any sale diverts from the remembrance of Allah. وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. And the keeping up of the prayer and paying the poor rate. So, this verse suggests that men of Allah do their best, try their best for their worldly life while they're not ignorant of hereafter. At the same time that they are doing their best in order to reach the sustenance of the Almighty Allah in this world, but they are always looking for these chances to promote their station in hereafter. So, abandoning business is not a value, as the verse says. لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The mere abandoning of business, it's not considered as something valuable in this verse. But if business is done along with the remembrance of Allah, if business is accompanied with praying, with giving alms tax, it will be respected high. So merely abandoning business, there is no value in it. If your business is accompanied with the remembrance of Allah, this is what is valuable. So in this noble verse, it is implied that those men who are not prevented from remembering of Allah, performing ritual prayer and paying alms tax, by neither business nor selling and buying, لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ, neither merchandise nor any sale diverts them, those are the men who fear the day in which hearts and eyes will be capsized.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qum.
So the verse says, dear listeners, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ. Those are the men which neither merchandise nor any sale diverts from the remembrance of Allah. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Why? Because they fear a day in which the hearts and eyes will be overturned. These characteristics, when we look closer, show that these houses that we mentioned in the previous verse, بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ, are the very centers that are fortified by Allah's commandment, and Allah is remembered in them.
In these centers, Islam facts and Allah's ordinances are circulated. These are the things that control over the people of those houses. In this extensive and comprehensive meaning, mosques, for example, are the houses of prophets and saints, especially the house of the Prophet sallallahu and the house of the infallibles are included. There is no reason for the matter that some commentators in their commentaries have limited this only to the mosque or houses of prophets and such like. And there are some narrations in which its clear extensions are mentioned. As an example, in the words of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, we see that Imam says, this verse refers to the houses of prophets, and the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam is included in it too. Another tradition, for example, indicates that when Prophet sallallahu was reciting this verse, he was asked, what is the purpose of al-buyut and these houses? And Prophet said, the houses of prophets. And again, Prophet was asked that, does this house refer to the house of Ali and Fatima? And Prophet said that it is the best of them, and it is, of course, pointing to them. And all of these denote the clear examples. In another tradition, upon the commentary of this verse by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he has said that Mishkat is the heart of Muhammad, Misbah is the very light of knowledge, and Zujaja is the heart of Ali or himself, in which Misbah was placed after the departure of Prophet sallallahu. We will continue our discussions in the next episode, dear listeners. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Thousands of Syrians and Palestinians gathered in their Nur camp in Damascus on Saturday for a pro-Palestine event organized by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. In the gathering, they denounced the relentless Israeli attacks on Gaza and the crippling blockade that has been suffocating its residents.
This demonstration is a message to our compatriots in occupied Palestine, especially in Gaza, that the Palestinians in Syria support their fight against the occupier who has committed the bloodiest massacres in the besieged strip, and that they are waiting for the moment to join the resistance. Victory is close, and we will not be terrified by the Israeli war machine or American threats.
Carrying Syria and Palestine flags, protesters voiced their outrage at the ongoing Israeli aggression and the horrifying atrocities in Gaza, including the recent tragic attack targeting the Al-Ahli Hospital and St. Porphyrius Greek Orthodox Church, which claimed the lives of hundreds and left countless wounded.
Today, we answered the call of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad in Syria to voice our support for the heroes of the resistance in Gaza and all of Palestine. We come from various camps in the south, men, women, and children, and we are willing to sacrifice our lives. We will soon pray in Al-Aqsa by God's will.
The Palestinian women in Gaza are a part of the fight because they offer their children to God. I want to tell the Palestinian mothers that patience is the key to victory and that you're a role model due to all the sacrifices you're making.
Syrians and Palestinians affirmed that the entire resistance front supports the fight of the Palestinian people and that Gaza is not alone. They reminded the whole world that the blood of those killed by the Israeli regime will pave the path for liberating Al-Quds.
While the international community continues to grapple with its response to Israel's war crimes and stands in awe of what the Palestinians' resistance has achieved, people of Yarmouk camp, Syrians and Palestinians alike, are demonstrating in solidarity with Gaza, advocating for justice and peace, and expressing their absolute faith in the victory of Palestine. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
As Israeli bombs rain down on Gazans, an urgent demand from Britons for an immediate end to the brutal war and bloodshed.
These people don't have a choice in what's going on. They're being pretty much slaughtered, women, children, and men. And I feel like the Western world is just letting this happen.
We want those horrible people who support genocide to come clean and tell the truth. We want the free press to report exactly what is happening. We want a free Palestine.
Insidious, slow slaughtering of people and just grief.
Grief over the horrific murders, but a flicker of hope at news of aid making it from Egypt through the Rafah crossing into Gaza. To the demonstrators here, this is a march to support the Palestinians. This is the second mass demonstration in 2 weeks, with the organizers saying more are in the pipeline, since they want to raise awareness of the Palestinian plight and what they have endured over decades.
Around the world, public support and solidarity for Palestinians is on the rise. An increasing number of people are telling the Palestinian they understand what they're going through, they hear their voices, and that they have their back. Saipur is up, London.
Members of the Islamic movement in Nigeria held a peaceful protest after Friday prayers at the National Mosque in the capital, Abuja. The demonstrators chanted slogans condemning the Israeli attacks on Gaza, which has resulted in the killing of thousands of Palestinians. They further condemned the Western refusal to call for a ceasefire and the support that the United States and European countries give to the Israelis. The demonstrators said they fully support the Palestinians.
The Islamic movement has been calling for justice for the Palestinians for the more than 4 decades. It's not just now that the Islamic movement started. The Islamic movement started from the beginning. It's one of the frontiers of calling for justice.
Free, free Palestine!
The demonstrators expressed solidarity with the people of Palestine, but regretted that many people still do not understand the motives of the Israelis, who have continued to oppress the Palestinians for several decades. They explained that the occupation of Palestinian lands and the systematic murder of innocent people, including women and children, is part of a grand plan of the Zionists.
Some people are still saying Israelis are acting on defense. What defense? Yesterday, if you feel they are killing Muslims, yesterday they went and destroyed a church of 1,600 years. They have destroyed it yesterday. Today, they have attacked another mosque of 1,400 years of existence. So they are killing Muslim, Christian, whoever they see, they kill him. It's Zionism that is fighting humanity.
Meanwhile, Muslim organizations under the Supreme Council for Sharia in Nigeria have condemned Israelis' genocide in the Gaza Strip. They also called on the Nigerian government to urgently review its relations with the regime. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
George Ibrahim Abdullah, known as the Arab world's Nelson Mandela and Europe's longest-serving political prisoner, has now been in a French jail for 40 years. In 1982, amid daily airstrikes and with Israel about to invade Lebanon, Abdullah headed an anti-Zionist and pro-socialist organization which took responsibility for assassinating an Israeli and an American intelligence agent in Paris. Many are concerned that Abdullah has effectively been given a life sentence in jail, even though his release was granted by a parole board in 2013.
La peine de mort, elle a été abolie en France.
France is so very proud of having abolished the death penalty, but instead of executing with the guillotine, they are forcing a slow death by prison on this global hero. For 40 years, he has refused to recant his support for Palestine and his act of legitimate self-defense in the face of Israeli violence.
Paris refuses to send him back to Lebanon, despite repeated requests from Lebanese officials, with Washington and Tel Aviv also pressuring to extend his detention.
He is such an example to the world because of his resistance to Zionist attempts at occupation, and because of what he has been forced to suffer so unjustly, and because he continues to fight against the crimes of imperialism. His regular political statements are received with great attention, not just in occupied Palestine and his home country of Lebanon, but around the world.
Protests demanding Abdullah's release are regular in France and Lebanon, while flags adorned with Abdullah's face are seen at seemingly every leftist or union demonstration in France. The Western mainstream media effectively has a blackout on Abdullah, but that hasn't stopped him from becoming an inspirational symbol of anti-imperialist resistance around the world, with supporters who say they'll never stop demanding his freedom. Ramin Mazahari, Paris.
Yemenis have taken to the streets for the second day in a row to show their solidarity with Palestinians as Israel continues its brutal attacks on the Gaza Strip. During the demonstration, protesters also praised the latest military actions, which targeted U.S. military assets in the region. According to reports, three missiles, which were launched from Yemen, targeted U.S. Navy warships in the Red Sea. This was also followed by other attacks on the U.S. military bases in Iraq and Syria in recent days.
I would like to send a message to the people of Gaza. By will of Allah, we are not going to enjoy food or drink without fighting alongside you. We are calling on the leaders to open the borders so we can join you in jihad.
From here in Yemen, I would like to send a message to the Zionist occupiers and aggressors. We will not allow you to get away with your crimes. We are coming for you. You will certainly see us soon in a place where you had hoped never to see us.
The Ansarullah government has not yet confirmed that it was behind the aerial attacks. However, the leader of Yemen's revolution, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, had said in the past that U.S. military assets would be targeted if the country joins the war against Palestinians.
We are not only going to march the streets to protest, but we are also ready to go to the battlefield to defend Islam, defend our lands, and defend Al-Aqsa. We are not like the Saudis and Emirates who are normalizing ties with Israel. They are the biggest traitors.
It is not clear how long the war will take. Comments and actions by Israel and its ally, the U.S., indicate that it's going to be a long war. Speakers during Friday prayers called on worshippers to protest daily in solidarity with Palestinians. This as the Yemeni government explores strategic military options that can be adapted to help end the bloodshed in Palestine. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
A brisk autumn night in front of the White House, but for protesters, heated passion over the constant bombardment of Gaza. Nerveen Adwan says she fled Gaza 20 years ago, but now her heart is there with her people.
People are not allowed to travel, are not allowed to find food. There's no food, there's no water, there's no medicine. And the people who seek medicine and cure in the hospital, they got killed.
Demonstrators gathered here focused on reports that an Israeli airstrike on Tuesday killed hundreds of people at a hospital. The death toll, the highest of any single incident in Gaza in recent days, triggering protests there and around the world.
Protests have been happening across the country both day and night. Most people outraged over the climbing death toll, not to mention the growing humanitarian crisis affecting the most vulnerable.
Many here angered by United States' alignment with Israel and its president, Joe Biden, calling him complicit.
He can go to hell, to be honest with you. Like the Americans have never been on the side of Palestinians, and they never will be. And he's just aiding Israel. He's just empowering Israel to move on and to continue their war efforts.
Others say legacy media are also to blame.
The mainstream media is directly culpable and directly responsible for these deaths. They have done everything from platform Israeli officials to spew their pure hatred unchecked.
Israel is a apartheid state!
These demonstrators are demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. They say they hope for the best, but expect the worst.
It's our land. Where else to go?
Colin Campbell, Washington.
As the Israeli war on Gaza rages on, a vigil in London to remind Palestinians they're not alone. The mood is somber. Some here have lost loved ones in Gaza.
I have family in Gaza, some of extended family that have been martyred, family, friends who are also gone, direct family that's been displaced. It's heartbreaking.
This is beyond, it's absolutely like terrifying and horrific that we are here at this point, just free Palestine.
Across from the vigil, the office of the UK Prime Minister, whose government's unfettered support for the Israeli regime, amplified by the UK's mainstream media, is not lost on the vigil goers.
What we have here is a media that is discriminatory, that is explicitly valuing the lives of Palestinians less than Israeli people. We have reports, there are studies. Each death of a Palestinian generates 1/7 the media of a death of an Israeli. And it's clear that in this conflict that there is a distortion of facts, that we have a set of reports that come out of Israel and a set of reports that come from Palestinian people. They are not treated the same. We treat the Israeli reports as fact, even though they have one of the worst track histories. And we treat the Palestinian reports as a likely falsehood, as something sketchy, as information that we don't trust.
Support for the Palestinians comes under a deteriorating climate for human rights activists in Europe. Just last week, the UK Interior Minister told police carrying the Palestinian flag may be a criminal offense. At the time of this report, Israeli bombardments of the Gaza Strip have killed over 3,000 Palestinians and injured more than 11,000 others.
It's been several days of horror for Palestinians in Gaza, several days of heartbreaking images pouring in, and several days of agony for the people here in the UK and across the world who feel powerless to stop the Israeli carnage. To them, this is about remembering those who were murdered and praying for the survivors. Saipur is up in London.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
anger is boiling in the streets of Pakistan over the United States and Israel. In a fiery expression of outrage, Pakistanis set ablaze the American and Israeli flags, signaling their vehement disapproval of their policies towards the innocent people of Palestine.
Anybody who denies the Holocaust, whether in North America or in Europe, is sent to jail. It is a crime. What Israel is doing is no less than a Holocaust in Palestine.
Oh, this is the greatest tragedy that the Israeli aggression is being backed by United States and other Western countries. I think that's the time where the world should protest against what Israel has been doing over the last 50, 60 years.
Political leaders, human rights activists, and religious scholars united in Islamabad for a series of rallies to condemn Israel's actions in Palestine. They marched in the streets and raised their voices to the world to play its role in stopping Israel from killing innocent men, women, and children in the Gaza Strip on a daily basis.
We are here to protest against the Israelis and anybody who's supporting them right now, be it Muslim leaders or America or anybody. And I would like to tell people that the word is not oppression anymore. The word is genocide. They're literally cleansing Palestine by killing their children specifically.
The rallies were marked by passionate speeches and powerful slogans as the diverse group of attendees came together to demand justice and peace for Palestine.
Unfortunately, the organization of the Islamic country is only condemning the action of the Israel. They are not taking any action. I think that they should announce sanctions against Israel. If they are not in a position to impose sanctions on Israel, they should disband the OIC.
The protesters were also calling for Israel to lift the Gaza blockade and reopen routes for humanitarian aid.
These rallies indicate the growing frustration and anger felt by many over continued violence and the lack of international intervention to protect the lives of thousands of innocent Palestinians besieged by Israeli forces. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Mother, the symbol of love and peace, she cannot stay at home and be a bystander when she sees the disturbing images of murdered children. So, Iranian mothers with their children gathered at Mother's Square in Tehran to express sympathy with Palestinian mothers and children. They say that the only thing they can do today is to come to the streets and be the voice of the oppressed.
We have witnessed heartbreaking scenes in the past few days, such as children waking up to find their homes destroyed and searching for their mothers. During these moments, all we could do was cry. Perhaps these gatherings can help awaken public conscience and draw the world's attention to Gaza.
I asked her why she has brought her daughter to this gathering.
I brought my daughter because I think that from this age, she should be able to develop a sense of sympathy so that when she reaches adulthood, she will not be indifferent to what is happening in the world.
I asked her how she felt about the recent events in Palestine as a mother. Tears welled up in her eyes.
We have come here today to support the Palestinian people who are being martyred. We cannot watch our brothers and sisters in Gaza being unjustly martyred and remain indifferent.
I know it was my duty to come here to sympathize with Palestinian children. I cannot imagine what is happening to Palestinian mothers. It is very sad.
Today, mothers around the world play a significant role in teaching their children about the Palestinian cause.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خداست. ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar. Date February 11th, 1983. The judiciary that today is in urgent need of pious, knowledgeable, and virtuous individuals for dispensing religious justices. The seminaries, wherever they are located, especially the big seminaries, must regard this matter as a critical religious obligation. For this important Islamic objective, they must invite the existing religious scholars of the seminaries and from the provincial cities.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio about the concept of piety that is the criterion of superiority Imam Khomeini رحمة الله عليه said he who is more pious who fears God more and who renders service to God is preeminent The sentence of Imam Rahmatullah alayh is about piety, which is a crucial feature of a Muslim. You know, piety is absolute obedience without any transgression, and it is knowledge without any ignorance. It becomes the cause for the acceptance of one's good deeds and makes one who comes to possess it distinguished and preeminent. Imam Ali alayhi salam defines piety or taqwa as a spiritual and divine state which prevents man from sin and deviation and counts fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one of its effects. He said, O creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certainly piety has saved the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from committing the unlawful and put his dread in their hearts so that their nights are passed in wakefulness and their days in thirst. Therefore, they achieve comfort through trouble and abundant watering through thirst. They regarded death to be near. So hastened towards good actions. They rejected their desires and kept death in sight. Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi. Moralists consider three stages for taqwa. One is to safeguard self from the eternal chastisements and from abiding in hell due to correcting one's belief. You know, when a human being tries to rectify his beliefs, to avoid atheism, to improve his belief in monotheism, prophethood, the day of judgment, and to adopt a right path in imamah, to perform obligatory duties and to leave the forbidden acts, you know, these are all the first levels of piety. The second, stage is to avoid committing sins verbally and practically. And such a meaning of taqwa is best known to the people of religion. And the third type is to safeguard the heart from what keeps it busy away from the truth, from the forbidden, the blameworthy, and permissible acts. This is the excellent stage of taqwa, and I hope that all of us would reach this level of piety and follow our religious leaders in the best way possible. Okay, dear listeners, that was the time we had for this episode of Spring of the Truth. I hope you have enjoyed it. For ending, let's just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh about the concept of piety once more. In that regard, he said, He who is more pious, who fears God more, and who renders service to God is preeminent. Thank you very much. I bid you farewell, and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.